Excuse me, the recordings have started.
All right, great. Thank you so much. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all. Welcome to the IGO Access to Children of Rights Protection Mechanisms Working Group call on the 1st of December at 1700 UTC today. On the call, we have George Kirikos, Gary Campbell, Sid Maher, Philip Corwin, Mason Cole, and Paul Tattersfield. We have no apologies at this time. From staff, we have Barry Cobb and myself, Michelle D. Snyder. As a reminder, please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and I'll turn the call back over to Phil Corwin.
Okay, thank you, Michelle, and welcome, everyone. This is Phil, your co-chair. Petter will probably not be with us today. He had an irreconcilable client conflict. If anyone has a change or statement of interest, please speak up. Thank you. No changes. ICANN 57, let's get into that. Hold on one second. Okay, so IGO was both our working group and the broader issues were the topic of quite a bit of discussion in Hyderabad. I was able to have a early on in the meeting, I was able to have a 20-minute private face-to-face conversation with the GAC chair to provide, I think, a somewhat different perspective than what he had heard to date on the issue. But we were dealing with a situation where there was conflicting advice on permanent protections that went back several years between the GNSO and the GAC. The board had not resolved it. Then the board started talks with the GAC, closed-door talks with the GAC and the IGO small group. Didn't hold equivalent talks with the GNSO, and that resulted in the proposal that was forwarded to us, the IGO small group proposal that was forwarded to us and to the GNSO in October, but without board endorsement. And we're all familiar with what their position was on CRP matters, pretty much the same position we had seen from the IGOs we had heard from previously. And then in Hyderabad, our working group session, I thought, was well attended, went well, got some good comments. We reviewed and took questions on the draft findings and recommendations section, which we're able to unveil for broader discussion in Hyderabad. And subsequent to that, Petter and I forwarded a memo to the chair and co-chairs of the council responding to the GAC advice relevant to our working group. And I don't know if staff has that available, that communique, that memo that Petter and I sent to the council, if you have it to put on display. Do you have that or not? Let me ask. What do we have displayed here? Okay, yeah, that's it, and that actually, that document, the appendix, is the relevant GAC advice. So, again, just to quickly review the points that Petter and I made to council to inform them of the perspective of the co-chairs of this working group. That first point, that shortly after our charter was approved, we proactively engaged with IGO and GAC representatives to urge their engagement as members in this working group. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. Second, that the small group proposal arrived very late in our deliberative process. In fact, while we were beginning to draft our preliminary report and recommendations, there wasn't that much new in it, so we were familiar with the with what the IGOs were requesting, and that we spent two full sessions of this working group reviewing that proposal in detail to the extent it impacted and related to our work. Third bullet point we made was that we anticipated that our preliminary report and recommendations will be published for public comment prior to the end of 2016. Now, for that to hold true, we have to finish up in the next 4 weeks. That's ambitious but possible, but certainly if we can't do that, we can get that posted by January, I believe. If anyone believes contrary, we can discuss that. That's going to be out for comment. Fourth point was that our review, our report's based on expert outside legal advice on IGO jurisdictional immunity, and that was very important to our efforts. Fifth point, that we believe our draft recommendations will add substantial clarity regarding the ability of IGOs to utilize the existing CRP mechanisms and safeguard their claimed immunities they have while doing so, and if adopted, will provide them with better access to effective and low-cost relief. And finally, we had to say that our working group did not agree with the GAC's rationale that, quote, the small group compromise strikes a reasonable balance between the rights and concerns of both IGOs and legitimate third parties, unquote, in regard to their desire to eliminate the possibility of appeal to a court of mutual jurisdiction, and also that our working group did not believe it was appropriate to establish that policy of no court appeal, or of that courts would abide by that. We didn't get into it in this memo, but of course we also have some dispute what their contention that their rights have nothing to do with trademark law, and our discussion of Article 6 tiers informed our views on that. So let me stop there and see if anyone, and by the way, at the council will be holding a call this afternoon on the schedule, on the agenda. There's supposedly a vote for a full GAC response to, full council response to the Hyderabad GAC communique. I tend to think that'll probably be deferred because council members have not yet received a draft document on that, so I don't think it's ready, but we do, that'll probably take place next month, and that will cover the IGO issues and all the other issues that were subject to GAC advice in the Hyderabad communique. Let me stop there and see if there's any further questions or comments on that. And looking up, I'm happy to welcome Mary Wong, who has now joined our call. Welcome, Mary. We've carried on so far without you, but I'm sure we'll call on your assistance shortly. So any further comments or questions about anything that happened in Hyderabad at the working group meeting or at the GAC meetings with the board or council or elsewhere on the IGO issue? Okay, so items. Okay, let's go on to item three on our agenda, which is to confirm the working group comments concerning its review of the IGO small group proposal. And do we have language on that to look at?
Phil, George has his hand raised.
Oh, George, sorry.
George Krikos for the transcript. I just wanted to ask whether we actually had any further input from the board or the GNSO Council since the GAC communique went out. Has the board kind of agreed that there's going to be a maintenance of the status quo until our final report and conclusions are?
Yeah, we got signals from the board in Hyderabad that they were not going to continuing their position, that they were not going to that whatever happened with the permanent protections, that they were not going to take any action on curative rights protections before our working group had completed its work. So I didn't hear anything to the contrary in Hyderabad. So right now I have no concern about the board trying to do something, and I think that would so go around the normal process that it would be subject to immediate objections and possibly exercise of accountability powers, because it would be the board making policy on an area that's the subject of an ongoing PDP.
Thanks, Bill.
Okay. So we now have some. Is there any way to get individual scrolling control for this document? Thank you. All right. So this is a draft section four. I believe Mary circulated this the other day in her email of Tuesday. Okay, let's see what was in. What did you circulate Tuesday, Mary? It was the... it was the initial draft of this section and a clean, updated Section 6 circulated on Tuesday, reflecting all the comments received from working group members to date. So this is the first time we're looking at this new language on review of existing materials. Given that we just got it from Mary 2 days ago, I'm presuming other working group members may not have reviewed all of this, so maybe the best thing would be for Mary to quickly take us through what's in here and then take any comments on it, and then with the understanding that following this meeting, working group meetings will review it in detail and provide other working group members and staff with any suggested changes in this section. So I turn it over to you, Mary. I'm hoping that your connection in Malaysia holds up for the meeting.
Yeah, I'm hoping so, too, and hope that everybody can hear me. Is that okay?
We hear you fine.
Thank you. And, Phil, as you know, I had a similar problem from yesterday when we were doing the RPM working group call. We apologize for not being able to get this draft section 4 to everyone before, and hopefully between now and the next meeting, everybody will have the chance to look through it. As you all know by now, this is part of what is going to form the draft, or at least the initial report, and what we had been looking at between, I think, last month and the Hyderabad was a draft section 6. And I know that I think about a month or so ago it circulated a skeletal outline of what the whole initial report would look like and what each section would consist of. So this section 4 really tries to describe the deliberations of the PDP working group, as you see in the heading. And so it should be read in tandem with the draft section 6 that we've been working on. And so essentially the scope of this section 4 covers really a history and a narrative, if you like, of what the working group has been looking at, the sort of documents that we've been reviewing, the work that we've done on those documents, and the process that we have engaged in with respect to those previous documents.
Yeah, Mary, just so you know, you're breaking up quite a bit suddenly.
And work, historical documents. Documentation, treaties, research, and previous ICANN work on the issue. So you see that basically documented in 4.1. Process of engaging Professor Swain, and what we did with professors actually talk about the conclusions that the working group did. So I'm going to try to changing that we would like the working group to review about Section 4 is the last part, which is 4.4, which, given the discussions in Hyderabad, may be one of the most salient sections, that is, the process with which we engage the IGOs and how We considered the small group proposal and our conclusions based on it. So, Phil, at this point, maybe I could just hand it back over to you, and hopefully that's a reasonable enough description of what this new draft section for.
Yeah, thank you, Mary. And we heard about two-thirds of what you said. I got the gist of it. And thank you for that initial review. So let me scroll through this with the group, and we can take a look at what's in here, but we're not getting it. If there's any kind of high-level comments, we'll hear them after this quick review. Detailed comments, of course. Let's aim for I think everybody wants to finish this working group's work on this preliminary report as soon as possible and get it out but before the end of this month, if possible, and if not, certainly in January, and then solicit public comments. So I'm going to ask everyone to give this really close attention and get back with any written comments by early next week so that when we have our next call, which I presume will be 1 week from today, we have a revised document reflecting detailed comments, whatever they may be, from the working group, and hopefully can approve a draft section 4 at the next call. Procedurally, does anybody have any concerns or questions about that plan to wrap up Section 4 within a week? Okay, hearing none, I'll assume it's acceptable. All right, so we got Section 4.1, which is a review of all the materials we went through, and there was quite a bit that we reviewed early on. We may, I think on some of these, we may want to comment a little more rather than just saying we looked at these, say a little bit about, you know, what we took away from that review. But we can all take a look at those background documents and suggest any language on that. For example, I think, to say, well, we agreed or disagreed with the 2001 WIPO report or the Secretariat paper or the 2007 ICANN staff report. I think those were the three most sensitive in kind of terms of suggesting approaches that we didn't agree with, so we might want to say a paragraph about each and, we respectfully reviewed them but went off the way we did for this reason. Then 4.2, status of previous ICANN work. That's just a historical narrative on what's been done on IGOs in the past. We probably won't have much, if any, change on that. Then the review of legal, Section 4.3, review of legal instruments and the legal expert opinion and other external source materials. And I think this section overall will demonstrate to anyone who reads the preliminary report and recommendations that even if they don't agree with all our recommendations, they certainly can't say that we didn't act very deliberatively and with a great deal of knowledge and review of all the relevant background work and legal issues on this. So that's Section 4.3, which also gets into the Swain report. And my understanding is that the Swain report will be an appendix to the preliminary report and recommendation, so the full legal memo is there. For anyone to look at when they're commenting. And then Section 4.4, as Mary observed, very important to relate and establish that we had, that while IGOs did not join the group as members, we did extensive outreach, we had some meaningful exchange of views, and we certainly were not, we were very accommodating in terms of wanting to get their perspective and their input and suggestions, and continue to do so from the beginning of this working group to the end. And then the last section I see here is our describes our review of the small group proposal. So, and then has a chart which contrasts our preliminary recommendations to their proposal with explanatory notes. So, certainly for internal ICANN politics, this is. That Section 4.4 is very important given what happened, and Hyderabad and the sensitivity of this issue within the GAC. So that's it. So let me stop there and see if anyone has any high-level comments about this draft report just from that quick review and I see George has some comments in the chat, but whether I think it's complete, have we missed anything? But again, we're going to really ask members of this working group to take the time. I think it can review and comment on that draft section, certainly in less than an hour. We're not talking about a lot of time here, but let's all do that, flesh it out, make any changes, and have what we hope is a final draft to look at and approve at our meeting next week. So any comments right now on Section 4? Okay, so I want to thank staff, and really you don't have to apologize. I think we're all, those of us who are in Hyderabad are just like fully recovered, and I know, Mary, that you, for whatever reason, decided to stay on in India and try to live without rupees that were accepted as cash. So we're glad you made it back, given the situation. So what's the next topic on our agenda? Hold on, I'm trying to scroll up here. Which is the confirm the intended date of publication for the initial report. Well, do we want to take a look at Section 6 here, the amended one, or should we simply, I think on that one, since it's already been subject to comment rather than, if people want to discuss it now, I'm open to that. But the more efficient way might be to simply look at the new version that Mary circulated on Tuesday and also be ready to say at the next meeting whether you think that's final. What do people think about that approach? Yeah, George, why don't you speak up if you have a concern about Section 6?
George Karikos for the transcript. On the second last page, right above recommendation number 5, there's a sentence in that says, the working group recognizes that IGOs may not welcome the fact that adoption of this recommendation by ICANN will mean that IGOs will still have to submit to the mutual jurisdiction clause of the EDRP and URS when filing a complaint. I think, you know, we should be able to soften that because they don't necessarily have to submit because they can do it through the agent or licensee or assignee, et cetera. So we might want to rephrase that slightly because it makes it look harder than it is because there are the workarounds.
Okay. Well, I would suggest that I think that's a valid, you know, valid comment, and I'd ask you and everyone else, and I'm going to do the same. I submitted extensive comments and proposed revisions on the first draft to 6. I haven't fully reviewed the new draft, but it looks like we're going to get out of this call early today probably, so in exchange for getting back some of your time, let's devote that time between now and next Monday to reviewing in fine detail Section 4, the draft Section 4, and then a final review and final comments on draft Section 6. Circulate them to the working group and staff by next Monday or Tuesday, so staff in particular on Section 4 has time to incorporate them and circulate a new draft before our next call, and then we can be prepared to hopefully sign off on both those sections on the next call, and also my understanding is that staff will be is preparing some other sections of the draft report that we'll be receiving over the coming week, and we can begin discussion of those. So, Mary, besides Section 4 or 6, I know some of this stuff is kind of boilerplate, and it's just it's the charter and other stuff in the report. There's not really much to comment on or to change. Besides Section 4 or 6, how many other non-boilerplate substantive sections need to be prepared and reviewed by this working group before we're ready to publish? I see your hand up, so go ahead, please.
Thanks, Phil. And that's a good question. I don't have on hand the skeletal outline that we circulated a while ago. But, you know, we fully expect that the most attention will be paid to these two sections, 4 and 6, particularly 6, because that's the actual section. I think the other sections are things like, you know, the history of the issue report, attendance lists, and, of course, the annexes that you already mentioned. So, by and large, it's somewhat boilerplate and not as substantive, comparatively speaking, to the two sections circulated in draft form.
Okay. So, I'm looking at the... With that background, and I thank you for that, I'm looking at the calendar right now for the month. If we meet next week and can sign off on Section 6 and hopefully on Section 4, we can look at other sections, the more boilerplate sections, on the 15th. I don't know. It'll be up to the group whether we meet on the 22nd, which is... 3 days before Christmas, and on the 29th, which is that's 2 days before New Year's Eve. I understand we may want to skip one of those meetings given holiday considerations, but if we can finish 4 and 6 next week and review the boilerplate ones on the 15th, I would think that it's possible that we can have an informal vote by the last meeting in December on a draft report to be published. Am I being over-optimistic, or is that does that seem feasible? Mary, what do you think?
Thanks, Phil. So that's kind of the staff thinking as well, because we do realize that, you know, we've been working on this as a group for a long time and that folks really want to just get this out and see what input we might get. So from the staff perspective, barring any, you know, anything else coming in or any further questions by the council, given, as you noted earlier, Phil, that there is a council call and a potential council response to the GAC communique from Hyderabad that does include some advice on IGOs, barring any of that, it does seem workable to us. And as George noted, what we will do also, obviously, is make sure that we do circulate all the documents to the mailing list, and we make it clear that folks should indicate any, you know, discomfort or suggestions via that way, even if they can't attend these calls. One thing I would want to note is that because this is a initial report, and I think everybody on this call knows it's the record, that it is not necessary for us to do the full consensus call that we would do when we actually come to the final report, which of course we would prepare after reviewing the public comments that come in. So in terms of the timeline, Phil, we think it's doable on the staff side is the short answer.
Okay. Yeah, good. So I think everyone on this working group will be happy that we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, that we can wrap up. It seems feasible that we can agree on a final preliminary report by our last call this month, and then we would put it out for public comment and probably wouldn't. And during that 40-day period, there's probably no need for any meetings of this working group that I can think of offhand. But then we'll need to reconvene probably in, if we put out for 40 days comment around the end of this month or early January, the comment period will end in the first half of February, and then we'll reconvene the group, and we'll, I have no idea how many comments we'll get, but we'll review all the comments, we'll take them all into consideration, and then start working on adjustments to a final report, which I would think we could probably, unless something really contentious crops up, can probably, we might get it out before departing for the Copenhagen meeting in March. If not, it would be later in March, but I think we can look toward publishing a final report by the beginning of spring. So we're on the downslope here. So, yeah, and George, I see your question. Yeah, of course members of this working group can submit comments in the comment period. Just because you're a member of this working group and have done all the work on this doesn't mean you can't comment, although clearly, you know, anybody who's been a regular in this group, your views are known and have been incorporated, and or at least not incorporated, can been very well considered as we develop this preliminary report. And so on item four, I'm confirming that we intend to shoot for publishing this. I don't know what staff work has to be done between final approval by the working group and publication for comment, how much time lapses between that. But we're looking toward final decisions on this draft report in our final meeting this month, and publication for public comment immediately thereafter, and then the group coming back together in February to review the comments and prepare a final report based on the comments. And we're going to ask staff to recirculate Section 4 and 6, which were sent out on Tuesday, to all members of this working group, and informing them that that's the plan and that we're asking everyone to make that schedule. It means devoting an hour of your time over the next 5-6 days to reviewing that draft Section 4, that near-final draft Section 6, submitting any comments or suggestions for revisions, and then looking toward approving them, certainly Section 6 and hopefully Section 4 in our call next week. So that's all good news. Our call next week, are we at the same time, which is 1700 UTC now with the time change in the U.S.?
Hi, Phil, and everyone. Is Mary again? I believe so, because we haven't rotated these calls and we haven't had any pushback on the time. So, indeed, unless anyone has any different opinions, we're looking at the same time next week, Thursday, 1700 UTC. And if I may, obviously, the latest that we would reconvene the group would be, as you said, probably around early February, when we would review the final, well, the public comment. But depending on whether we get comments early on in the cycle, say in January versus typically, kind of all in a rush at the end,
right,
the working group can also reconvene before that, as I think everyone knows, to review the comments that have already come in.
Yeah, and we'll monitor the comments. If by, mid to late January there's a significant number of comments, we can always schedule a call to review those and start taking them into consideration. We don't have to wait for the close of the comment period. But we can't predict when or how many will come in. And the typical pattern is for most of them to be dumped in the last 48 hours. And, Mary, I just wanted to note, I think you were not on the call yet when I said, in regard to the overall GNSO response to the GATT communique, while it's on the schedule for a vote on today's call, at least as of the time this call had started, no draft response had been circulated to council members. So I don't think that response is ready yet, and it will probably be deferred to the next council call, is my impression. Okay. So with that, I think we're wrapped up. Does anyone have any other business or any comments or questions they want to raise before we end this call early? And again, I'm giving you back 20 minutes of your time today, which I expect to be devoted to reviewing Section 4 and 6. We've done a good job here, and we already have strong draft sections, but we need to make them as strong and credible as possible given the politics around this issue. I think we have a draft product that we can all be proud of that reflects all the hard work that everyone in this working group has put into this project, but let's not drop the ball at the end. Let's put in that extra hour of review and make sure we have the strongest possible preliminary report and that we haven't missed anything important in it. So I don't see any hands up or hear anyone, so I'm going to call this call to a close. And again, your homework assignment is to review sections 4 and 6, get comments back to the working group and staff by the early part of next week so staff can incorporate them, has at least 48 hours to revise those documents before the next call. We expect some other of the boilerplate sections to be coming from staff over the coming week, and we will convene again 1 week from today at the same time. And with that, I bid you adieu. Bye-bye.
Great, thank you. Again, the meeting's been adjourned. Operator, please stop the recording. Disconnect the remaining lines. Everyone, have a great remainder of your day.
Thank you. Goodbye.